This is VOA News. Via remote, I'm Marissa Melton. Just before Tuesday's presidential debate between incumbent President Republican Donald Trump and Democratic challenger Joe Biden, the New York Times has published a lengthy report showing that Mr. Trump, a billionaire who has often boasted of his business acumen, paid just $750 in U.S. income taxes in both 2016, the year he ran for the presidency, and 2017, his first year in office. The newspaper did not publish information about his tax returns for 2018 or 2019. The report said it reviewed nearly two decades of Trump's tax returns and that they showed that the real estate titan, reality show host, and now politician lost hundreds of millions of dollars in his business deals. Those losses allowed him to write off income and pay nothing in taxes in 10 of the 15 years before he ran for the White House. In all, the newspaper said Trump paid no federal income taxes in 11 of the 18 years of returns it examined. When asked about the report on Sunday, Mr. Trump called it totally fake news. The New York Times reported that over the past two decades, Mr. Trump had $73 million in revenue from abroad during his first 2 years in office, and he has more than $400 million in debts, much of it coming due in the next 4 years. The World Health Organization says 120 million rapid diagnostic tests for the coronavirus will be made available to low- and middle-income countries as the world approaches a death toll of 1 million people. WHO Director General Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus told a news conference in Geneva on Monday that the tests will cost less than $5. The Johns Hopkins Coronavirus Resource Center reported Monday that there have been close to 1 million deaths from COVID-19 worldwide. There have been more than 33 million infections. This is VOA News. Turkey says it will back Azerbaijan with all means necessary after fighting entered a second day Monday between Azeri and Armenian forces over the disputed Nagorno-Karabakh enclave. Azeri and Armenian forces exchanged heavy artillery fire Monday. Each accused the other of starting the hostilities a day earlier. Observers called the latest fighting over Nagorno-Karabakh the worst since the 1990s. Witness reports put the number of dead, including civilians, at more than 20, with at least 100 wounded. Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan was quick to voice support for Azerbaijan. He called Armenia the biggest threat to peace in the region. Russia joined the United States and other nations urging restraint from Azerbaijan and Armenia. Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov told reporters Monday, quote, "We call on all sides in the conflict to show maximum restraint, to reject military methods and refuse any steps that might provoke an undesired escalation of the situation that is already a military conflict." The U.S. Department of State also issued a press release saying the U.S. is alarmed by what it called large-scale military action that had led to significant casualties. It said the United States condemns in the strongest terms this escalation of violence. Much of the animosity between Armenia and Azerbaijan has focused on Nagorno-Karabakh. It's an ethnically Armenian enclave inside Azerbaijan's borders. It was the site of a war in the early 1990s that killed 30,000 people and displaced over 1 million. A spokesman for UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres says the United Nations chief welcomes the agreement Yemen's warring parties have reached to exchange more than 1,000 prisoners. It's a move designed to revive the stalled peace process of the more than five-year-old conflict. Stefan Dujarric said in a statement Monday that Guterres urges the parties to build on this momentum and finalize arrangements for the release of all remaining detainees. The Yemeni government, which is backed by a Saudi-led military coalition, and the Houthis reached the prisoner exchange deal after meeting for more than a week in the Swiss village of Glion. Former Mali Foreign Minister Mokhtar Wan has been named the West African nation's prime minister as it struggles to return to normalcy following last month's overthrow of President Ibrahim Boubacar Keita. Wan was named to the post Sunday by transitional President Ba Ndaw, who was installed by the ruling junta on Friday. Wan served as foreign minister for Mali from 2004 to 2011, and earlier he represented Mali as its envoy to the United Nations from 1995 to 2002. Via remote, I'm Marissa Melton. From Washington, this is VOA News.